Hey, greetings, everybody.
It's Sister Amen.
With Brother Tupos. And we are bringing you our...
edification audio.
Yeah, on a rainy night.
Yeah, it just started sprinkling.
We're parked by a lake. It's a rainy night. We got some neighbors. Brother Cool is parked near us. And we want to bring you some edification today to encourage you in the Word of God.
Yeah, I think our neighbor, we could put both of our vehicles in his car.
Yeah, this guy's got a fifth-wheeler. It's bigger than my first house I ever bought, I think.
Yeah, it is huge.
It's huge, but he's nice and quiet, so that's good.
Oh, yeah, that's nice, yeah.
We traveled today and got to a destination, moving towards some preach for this weekend. And then we had a call, a gathering call. That was really exciting. It's in the Ecclesia gathering area. One brother taught on running the race. One brother taught about husbands not bitter with your wives. And then we talked about, what else did we talk about? I think we had four different audios. Oh, we talked about 1 Timothy 5:8, providing for your family.
Yep.
That word providing is more than money. So you can go listen to all those. It was a really good gathering. I just have to say, we have a new brother that's joined with us, as united to us, and he's a man married with four small children. And just seeing God work through him is pretty amazing. The Spirit is showing him things he's got to do, and he's excited about it, and it's pretty awesome.
You just said something that's pretty awesome about it all. You said he's excited about it.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome, because a lot of times we meet people that you got to drag and push and pull.
Yeah, this man got rid of their big TV out of their house, and he's standing outside with a smile on his face over it, and he knows it's best for his children. And so, yeah, it's pretty awesome. We're excited to have a new brother, and I think his wife is interested in learning the things of God as well. So this is all pretty awesome. And God is faithful. Preach the gospel. Those with ears to hear and eyes to see will come.
And he adds to his body.
Oh, yeah, he does. He talks. He adds to it. So it's pretty awesome.
No, I mean God adds to
his body.
Yeah.
I thought you meant this man adds. Yeah, God adds to the body, and this man adds when we come together as a body.
Yeah,
and I'm kind of exciting, if the Lord wills, we're going to go back up to where he lives in Wisconsin, and he's going to come out street preaching with us, and that'll be exciting.
Yeah, that will.
Because we met him out street preaching.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Today, we have a topic.
Well, hold on.
What?
Sisters and I did an audio.
Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot about that. Follow up with that.
Yep.
Go ahead.
We all just shared scripture verses on what we do is we just like pick a word or a topic or something, and then we each pick our own.
Nice.
And then we just take a time and share on it.
That's going to be on the Ecclesia gathering area?
Yeah, we just read the scriptures and don't expound or anything. Maybe just share some thoughts
right.
or corresponding scriptures. And we did one, let's see, one sister did prove, another did holy, and then I did it is written.
It is written. I like that.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, so that was really encouraging and edifying.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Yeah.
And I had just a quick point here.
Go for it.
Going to the other one. We keep hearing, and we're just reviewing some of the street preaching videos, and one man kept yelling, "No judgment," or
yep.
"Help me out on that." What did he say?
Yeah, he was saying, "Jesus brings no judgment, no condemnation."
Yeah.
He hasn't read the Bible.
I was just going to read one scripture verse that refutes that.
Yep.
Here's this. Jude 1:14-15. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesies of these, saying, "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him."
Oh, yeah.
So unless he doesn't read the Bible, that's just one spot where
yeah.
it says it's going to execute judgment.
Yeah. That's the itchy-eared, easy-believe Jesus that winks at sin, loves everybody, and is unconditional God gospel.
I don't know what Jesus that is.
I know. It's not going to stand. It's a false Jesus. Paul warned about that in 2 Corinthians 11.
Oh, yeah.
False Jesus, false spirit, false gospel.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. All right, so we'll get on to our topic now. You ready?
Oh, yeah, I'm ready.
We have a topic. The topic is your ministry or the one God has for you. This keeps coming up all the time. Like people, whether they're new in the faith or this can happen to older people in the faith, they start doing a ministry that they want to do, but then God says, "Nah, I got other plans." And some people accept that well, other people don't.
Yeah.
And we were going to use some examples. I have a verse, 2 Timothy 4:5. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of your ministry. You got to make full proofs of your ministry doing what God's called you to do, not what you want to do.
Amen.
And so that's what we want to talk about. We have seen, Sister Robin and I have seen many people run into ministry. They want to do it, and usually they negate what they're supposed to be doing. It's not what God has for them, and it never ends well.
Right.
And we're going to use some examples. You want to go first?
Yeah, I'll start with one. I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of them, I think.
And then I have 5 as well.
Okay, and I get a scripture verse to kind of wrap it up or whatever. My first one would be like sisters who might want to be on the streets, but the life God has for them is one of maybe raising many children,
right,
being a servant,
yep,
helping elderly,
yep,
and their life is not such, may not be
right,
such to where
they're
on
the streets.
Time and a season
for everything.
Yeah. So that would just be one of them, and we know people like that.
Right.
And we have to be thankful and content in whatever it is God has for us.
We've met a lot of women like that.
They want to
run off and do ministry that they want, and God, you can tell, God is saying, no, do this one right here.
Yeah.
And they're rebellious, and they don't want to do it.
Right. That's not good.
I had one. There was a man that we knew and were united to for a short time, and he wanted to do online ministry, and he got all caught up in, ready, the sound of it. He used to have do special mic recording, and
so he took every out
of it. He didn't want to hear lip smacking. And then he got so caught up in the design of the website and how everything looked, and he was so focused on that, he lacked what was most important in his life. And in his case, he totally lacked his marriage.
Yeah.
And he ended up divorced as a believer. It shipwrecked his faith. Now he's in the world and he has nothing.
Oh, he's darkness.
And so, yeah, it's very, very sad. If he would have focused on his marriage, God may have spared it, and then him and his wife may have ministry together. He wanted to do his own thing, and he just shipwrecked his marriage and his faith in the end.
Yeah.
Now he has a girlfriend hanging around, some worldly girlfriend hanging around with her,
yep,
and it's all broke apart.
Yeah, that was a good one.
What's yours next one, Sister Armin?
I have another one, yeah. It kind of goes on the opposite of what we just had. Might be getting older. Okay, us, for example.
Yeah.
We're out on the streets. We're getting older. We're talking about...
Are we getting older?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
How this life in van life and on the road, it is wearing.
Yeah, it drains on you.
It, like, sometimes it really, really drains on you.
It's no vacation.
No, and then add ministry responsibilities on top of it. And it's all good because you want to do it for the Lord. Your flesh might be tired and want to find maybe a more quieter ministry, but
right,
the Spirit drives you on. It's what the Lord wants, not what you want. He always gives us what we need.
Yeah, that reminds me of what Brother Zealous said the other day. He met a man that said he retired from ministry work. And Brother Zealous said, do you retire from ministry work? So it'd be easy for us to just retire, go away and do what? I don't know. Sit on the beach and ride bike and eat ice cream
that,
like the Anabaptists at Pinecraft do? No. We're not going to retire from ministry. We're going to keep doing what God's called us to do. We'll talk about that.
Amen.
At the end, yeah. How about another man that was newer in the faith? He was a novice, but he wanted to be a teacher. And he was rushing in to do a lot of teaching. And he had good doctrine. He wasn't teaching any error, but he was kind of out of order from what God's word said. And he ignored him being a father and a husband. And so he had to scale that back and get all those things right. To the glory of God, this man did.
Oh, yeah.
And he's getting it right now. But it could have shipwrecked his faith if he went in that wrong direction. So it's a good example of somebody correcting ship here and getting it right. Now he's focusing on first things first. One day he may be a leader, teacher, I don't know. But right now he's a saint, a brother, a father, and a husband. And that's what he's focused on.
And he's going to be a great encouragement to other fathers and
amen,
husbands.
Amen, amen, yeah.
My turn. Oh, yeah, here's one. A sister who was wanting to have her, and at the time her professed believing husband, to do traveling and preaching and out on the streets, but that never really came to pass, which turned out to be a good thing because she realized her husband is a false convert, and now her ministry, which her ministry was all along.
Yeah.
To win him without the word.
Right,
to be a quiet, godly, holy woman trying to stand strong on the word.
Yeah.
And not wavering.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah, that's a good one. Another young saint that set out is another one having a website. And guess what happened? Pride got caught up in the website. Pride of going and doing things, pride of hearing his voice, seeing himself, whatever he was posting. Pride got him all tripped up. And now, this is another good case. This young man had to scale back from that, put away his website, and learn for a season to just rely on God and walk humbly. And now he's content and walking humbly. He doesn't even have a website anymore, but he's a worker of the gospel. He helps other people in their ministry. And as a newer believer, he's learning a lot of important lessons. So he had an idea for ministry. Mm-hmm. God said, no, you're going to get caught up in that. Don't do it. He did it. And then he took good counsel. He got rid of it. And now he's making full proof of his biblical ministry now by just growing and being a servant and rooting himself in the word first.
Right.
Maybe one day he'll have a website again, but not for now. Time and a season.
Today.
Yeah. Amen.
What you have today. That's awesome. Well, here's another one. This is one from quite a while ago. A woman contacted us, and she wanted to learn how to be out on the street preaching the gospel, but when she was told she needs to be under the authority of biblical male headship and learn and be trained and taught, she took off and wanted to do her own thing.
If that's the one I'm thinking of, one thing I think you missed, though. She called and said, I've been watching your website.
Oh, yeah.
I want you to be my elder and overseer.
Yep.
And we said, you do? And she said, yeah, I need an elder and overseer. And we said, okay. She didn't have a husband. She didn't have anybody else. And we said, okay, we'll work with you, Sister Amon, help me working with her, because she was a woman. And then when I told her, well, wait a minute, you're out witnessing, you're out passing out the gospel, let's see what you're doing, make sure you're doing it rightly, she rebelled. It was on the same phone call. She rebelled. She rebelled instantly against somebody she wanted to be her overseer, because I said, you shouldn't be doing that. You're teaching men, and you're rebuking men. You got to scale that back. And she said, well, I'm called to do it. She ran off on her own.
Yeah, she just wanted to use the
I think she wanted to pretend she had oversight.
Something like
but
that,
she didn't really have any oversight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hopefully she's repented and is in the role that the Lord would have her.
Yeah, yeah. This one's a common one. A man who was a musician, wanted to play music versus preaching the gospel. Young man told me, well, I just feel led. I got the musical talent. I'm just going to go and play music and make music versus preaching the gospel. What do you think of that, Sister Amon? The Bible tells us to go and become a music minister?
No, the opposite.
Yeah.
We're to preach the gospel.
Yeah. And I don't know what happened to this young man, because I'm not united to him. He went off on his own, but I'm pretty sure he's either shipwrecked or he's probably, if like most, I hope and pray he's not, but like most, he's probably caught up in music ministry, like that false winter jam we preached at this last week.
Yeah.
So music sweeps a lot of people away, because they think worship minister, worship leader, music maker. Some of these guys running around doing revival events saying, my guitar brings revival, because people jump up and down and scream when they play music. That is not a ministry God would call you to.
I don't see Romans 12 having anything to do about music when it comes to living sacrifice.
No, nope, exactly.
And reasonable service.
Amen, amen. Do you have another one, Sister Amon?
I do, and this one is from the scriptures.
Oh, I have one more before we go to that.
Okay.
Let me do one more.
Oh, yeah.
So this man, actually a woman reached out to Sister Amon years ago, a couple of years ago, and she's married and they had small children, and Sister Amon said, our husbands need to connect. So we did connect for a very short time, never met him, but they were traveling. He gave up his engineering job. They were in an RV. They wanted to go buy land somewhere at the time. We had a homestead, and they wanted to get land, and this man's plan was this, ready? He wanted to buy land, start an organic, self-sufficient farm, invite people to come and learn how to be self-sufficient. This guy was claiming to be a born-again believer. And then, after the week-long seminar of teaching them, he would tell them the gospel at the end of the week-long seminar, give them some literature. And I said, that's not going to work. I said, you're tricking people into the gospel using organic farming. And I said, the Bible says, preach the gospel. Paul and Jesus didn't use organic farming.
Mm-mm.
Didn't go well. Him and I didn't have unity long. He ended up getting in his flesh, and I think the last time we looked at their website, shipwrecked as far as no new additions, pretty much dead in the water. Not shipwrecked, maybe, but dead in the water, not doing anything anymore.
Right. Yeah.
So, another example of a man wanting to do his own ministry versus do what God said. Preach the gospel, make disciples, teaching them to obey.
And not even doing the ministry online that they had.
Exactly. The call of God is very simple. It may not be easy to do sometimes, but it is very simple to understand.
Go, preach the gospel, make disciples.
Amen.
That's pretty simple and basic.
Teach them to obey, yeah.
Yeah.
You said you have a Bible example?
Yeah, I do. So I'll just say this. Saul.
Oh, yeah.
Who was going after the Christians.
Yep.
Was then Paul, who was ministering to the Christians.
Yep.
Who was a Jew that ended up having to go to the Gentiles.
Yep.
Now talk about a different kind of ministry that he started out on and ended up in.
I love that. When he meets Jesus in Acts 9 on the Damascus Road, Jesus says, why are you kicking against the pricks?
Oh, I know.
Meaning he was kicking against the truth of God, thinking he was doing God's work by killing Christians.
Yeah.
Saul had one ministry. God said, I got this one for you.
Yeah, and hey, he got a different name, too.
He did. Yeah, Saul became Brother Paul.
There, yeah.
And he changed, and the scales fell off. He was born again, and he went and did God's work faithfully. Praise God for that. I have one. How about in Acts 8, Simon the sorcerer? He used to be a sorcerer. Now he's a believer. Apparently he wasn't happy just being a believer, helping Peter, helping us, the apostles. He wanted to buy the Holy Spirit. Peter gives him a good rebuke. Go read it in Acts 8.
Ooh.
Clearly, God did not have that ministry for him. You don't buy the Holy Spirit. Two, he was not given that power like the apostles had. Paul would lay hands on people and the Holy Spirit would fall upon them. That was not Simon's job. He was not an apostle. So he had the wrong idea of ministry. And God definitely took that away and Peter gave him a good rebuke.
Yeah.
So by all of this, I guess we're just kind of encouraging you, make sure the ministry that you have, your ideas, we hear it all the time. I want to be a worship leader. Ready? Hey, I'm surprised you forgot this one. Can I bring one up to you?
Yeah.
We're at a music festival in Duluth. You ended up talking to a young woman for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
What did she want to be?
Oh, that, yeah. We've done so many. It's so easy to forget them. She was young. I think she was 16 and she wanted to become a pastor.
A pastor.
Yeah, and her and I talked for a long,
like an hour
time. Yeah, and then she came back and talked some more, and then she listened to the preaching. This was when everybody was stuck outside the gate waiting for it to open, and they all line up, so we get to go in there and talk to them all. So, yeah, I forgot about that one. Yeah, obviously that is not what God would have for a woman to do.
Right.
Not that. Yeah.
Yeah, that one just came to my mind.
Yeah.
Yeah, so make sure your ministry ideas are what God wants. I'm going to confess one of myself. Ready? So years ago when I became a believer, we owned a farm.
Mm-hmm.
And then after I became a believer, we decided to downsize. We owned a smaller homestead.
Mm-hmm.
And then we owned another homestead.
Mm-hmm.
After we sold, we had two at one time, and then we sold one and we moved to the other one. Anyway, I really enjoyed homesteading. I loved cutting wood. Sister Amon loved canning and gardening. We loved being self-sufficient. Man, we had so much food and safety, and we were off-grid. We didn't need nothing. We didn't care if the world fell apart. We're fine on our piece of land. Peace and safety.
We were like the epitome of those people you see on
we're
those.
We're good to go. We're like Noah's Ark. We were all stacked up, loaded up, ready to go.
And we knew how to do everything.
And I thought, I'll just have a website, and from here I'll just kind of do ministry from here and maybe in the local area. And God convicted me and put on my heart that that homestead was an idol, became an idol. I really enjoyed it too much in my flesh. Not that it was sinful, but God said, you got to go.
We got to go.
And we ended up selling everything we owned material-wise and bought a van. And we ended up becoming van dwellers and going and preaching the gospel. So I had ministry plans. I'm going to be a homesteader and then online evangelist. And God said, I want you out in the world doing that in person. And still do the online ministry.
Oh, yeah. That and that.
Yeah, and that. And I'm glad he did that because we thrive at it and we love it and we do it. We sold everything to go preach the gospel in the world. We have brothers because we've done that. That's all God's calling. It's of him, not of us.
Right.
But we know, I deal with people all the time that have heard us, seen us preaching the gospel. Lives are changed. The truth goes out. Just sitting on our homestead would not have gotten that job done.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
No.
So that's pretty awesome. Go ahead.
Psalm 40, verse 8. This is really simple. I delight to do thy will, O my God, yea, thy law is within my heart.
Yeah, and that reminds me, I'm always talking about this. So the word servant, we're to be a servant of Christ. We're bought, the Bible says, with his shed blood, so we're not our own. We're servants. That word in the Greek, doulos. I love that. Go look the definition. It means one who lays down his own desires to serve his master. Mm-hmm. So I laid down my homestead desires to serve God. Sister Amon laid down all of her feminist ways before she was a believer to go and serve God and submit and be a helper and be a worker in the ministry. And everyone has to lay down. We lay down our pride and our vanity, and we have to lay that all down to go and serve him. So I think that's a pretty awesome message to ponder. Lay down the ministry you think you want. Pick up the one that God wants you. He said, pick up your cross, your stake, and follow him. He's choosing for you what to do. You don't get to choose what you get to do.
Right, and it's freedom, too. When amen. You lay your will down.
Yeah, amen.
And do what he wants you to do, because he'll help you in it.
Amen.
You pick the one you want.
Yep.
And you're going to be like, Saul, yep. Why are you kicking against the prince?
Yeah. You're not going to be spirit-led, and you're not going to be pleasing to the Father, and you're not going to be doing his work, and it's not going to be effective and fruitful unless it's in his will. Jesus said, my brethren, do the Father's will. If you're not doing the will in the ministry, you're not doing God's will.
Right, it'll just confound you.
Amen.
So, yeah.
Hebrews 8:6, but now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is a mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. That's what we have today. We have, because of his excellent ministry, he did the Father's will perfectly. That's what we're supposed to do. And because of that, we have the new covenant that we can walk in. So he did his ministry perfectly. We need to be doing ours. That means in God's will for us. And each person's ministry is different.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
And they're all important.
Amen. Amen. So that was a good topic. Hope that edified you. Tomorrow, we are standing outside at a false revival. This is going to be interesting.
Lord willing, this works out.
Lord willing. And then Saturday, we move down the road, or either maybe Friday night we move down the road. I'm not sure. We might be in the right town. And then we have a big event we're going to. And then Sunday, we'll be standing outside a religious building somewhere. And so, again, this all, if the Lord wills. And then we're meeting up with the Zello's house in another town. And we'll have fellowship. And so looking forward to the days ahead.
Going to be busy.
If the Lord wills. Going to be busy. Looks like the rain might let up. We got young brother Akua with us. So I'm excited and ready to go. You ready to go, Sister Amon?
Oh, I am.
You got a scripture verse for us, don't you?
I do. Psalm 40, verse 9. I just read 8.
Mm-hmm.
This one kind of goes with what we're talking about for ministry. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips. O Lord, thou knowest.
I like that. That reminds me of Paul saying, I have not withheld preaching the full counsel of God to you.
Yeah.
In the book of Acts. Yeah, I like that.
We don't want to hold back anything.
All right. That's awesome. My last thought to everybody listening, I hope that edified you. I hope you are pressing in. Brothers and I have been talking about that. Philippians 3:14. I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Press in. We don't stand idle. We don't sit by the wayside. We're on the narrow path. We're moving forward. We're striving, and we are pressing in.
Amen. You know what it made me think of?
What?
Can I share this real quick?
Of course.
When Brother Akul got out of his van, what pressed into him? I thought that's just cute.
Yeah, we'll end on this funny little note. So I've been telling Brother Akul about down where we're going to stay, there's these ducks all around the lake. Bring bread, because they love bread. So he pulls up, meets us at a McDonald's before we even get to the lake. He's about ready to get out of his van, and he said one of the ducks is waiting for him by his van.
Uh-huh.
And he's wagging his tail and comes and stands right by his door and is looking at him.
Like walking up to
him. He said he goaded him into giving him some bread, and then it didn't end there. Brother Akul comes in to have coffee with us, and the duck follows him up to the door and is standing looking in the window like, I know you're in there. Get some more bread.
He's pressing in, trying to get some more bread.
The duck press. These ducks are pressing in. They'll surround you for this bread.
They're cute.
That's what we need to be. We need to be pressing in for the kingdom of God, looking for it, seeking it, and every day diligently, right? The Bible says God's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That these ducks diligently seek their bread.
Oh, they do.
We need to be seeking the living bread. I'm glad you brought that up. That's pretty funny. All right. We love you all. Press in. We're here to help you. Check out thegospeldon'tperish.com. Go to the Ecclesia Gathering link and see all the new additions there to bless mm-hmm. you and edify you.
Amen.
Down the road we go.
Yep. Amen. May God be praised.
Amen, Sister Amen.